This is Indy 101.5 CIOI.
Hey, hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome or welcome back. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air. And I hope you've had a great Tuesday so far. And thank you for rounding off your evening with my show. I really appreciate it. Tonight I'm hanging out with Isabella Chiarini. She is a Hamilton-based pop singer-songwriter. So you can find Isabella on all socials as Isabella Chiarini Official and on all streaming services as Isabella Chiarini. So, hey, Isabella.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
I'm good. I guess just to kind of give you a little introduction, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
I would describe it as kind of like eclectic. I try to like change my style a lot when I release. Like I try to do something different every time.
Yeah.
So kind of keep people guessing.
Totally, yeah. Who are your biggest musical influences?
I would say definitely like Dua Lipa is a big influence, like the way she does her production.
Mm-hmm.
For her songs, I really like it. I've been super into The Weeknd lately, just his whole vibe of where he's bringing his music lately. And then there's another singer. She's Canadian. Her name is Fauzia. It's such a weird name to pronounce, but her vocals are just amazing. Like, she has all these crazy runs that she does, and I always try to, like, replicate them. So I'd say those are my biggest ones right now.
Yeah, totally. What would you say you take from those influences?
I take different things. Like, Fauzia definitely, like, her vocals inspire me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try different things with mine and to kind of step outside of the box a little bit. And then for Dua Lipa and The Weeknd, it's more like the production side of things. So I feel like their production has been really cool. Like, Dua Lipa has, like, a lot of disco type of stuff that she tries to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like The Weeknd has been trying to bring his sound back, almost like 80s type of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that stuff is always cool to bring back the past and kind of, like, reinvent it in new ways.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you're inspired by, like, 80s themes?
Definitely.
Yeah?
Definitely. Cool. I grew up with it. My dad, that's all he listens to, even to this day.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of been there, always in the background for me. So I feel like that's definitely influenced not only the way I make my music, but my music taste in general.
Right. What kind of stuff did he listen to?
Oh, he's a very big Madonna fan.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of Madonna, lots of, like, I would say Dead or Alive, Duran Duran, all those kind of bands as well.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that those like early influences that you had as a kid, like from your dad, those very 80s styles, would you say that has an impact on the music that you create now?
Definitely. I feel like a lot of my songs always have something to do with that type of music, like whether it's just like a clap in the background or like a way I sing a certain line. Like, there's always something that kind of the 80s have inspired in all of my songs.
Right. Cool. Whenever I talk to musicians, I find that there's usually pieces of art that they were introduced to, maybe like as a teenager or a young adult, and it sort of like sparked their interest in creating their own music. And it's usually this kind of feeling of like you listen to a song or an album and you go, wow, I wish I made that. You know, like you get that really personal connection from that piece of music. And do you have a piece of music like that where you listen to it and you were like, wow, that really speaks to me and I wish I made that myself?
Yeah, I'd say there's two that I've really, like I wish I would have made. One of them is Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen, because I just think like that song changed so much for music, just the way that they incorporated different styles into one song. Even just the length of it at the time seemed pretty crazy to have like a 6-minute song. So I think just being able to push the boundaries like them would have been really cool to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alone by Heart. It just, I mean, she's an amazing singer, but I feel like just like the whole, like even the production of it, like playing it loud in my car, like I just always think, wow, like if I was alive when this song came out, I would have 100% wanted to at least cover it. Like, it just really speaks to me in some way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Do you play any instruments yourself?
I do. I play the piano.
Cool. When did you start playing that?
I was about 10. I'm actually still in lessons for it. I learn more like, I'd say classical type of stuff,
right?
But it definitely helped me with like being able to accompany myself at least, like just with basic chords type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely like when I play piano, I definitely am more on the classical side. So like doing World Conservatory like pieces, like even like Bach, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you like to learn to play any other instruments?
Yes, I have actually, I've taken guitar lessons before. They haven't gone so well, but that would be another instrument that I would like to learn.
Yeah. What do you feel as though was different between like learning the guitar versus learning the piano? What do you felt was different about those?
I felt like, at least just like finger strength, like when I would play the guitar, I would try to press the strings so hard and a lot of times the sound just like wouldn't come out just because I have like very weak fingers, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. It takes a lot of work. When did you start singing?
I started taking lessons when I was around 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I guess singing my whole life, but actually like doing lessons at 8.
Yeah, that's really young. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you get into those lessons? Did your parents sign you up for those?
Yeah, honestly, without lessons, I was not a very good singer. Like, I could not sing a song on pitch at all.
Sure.
So basically, my dad said, you're going into lessons because if you're going to keep singing, at least it's going to sound good.
Yeah. And were you singing from, like, an early age, like, earlier than 8? Like, what kind of sparked them to put you in lessons?
Yeah, I was just always singing, like, even just humming around the house, like, all that kind of stuff. Like when I was in the shower, that's like my main, when I was younger, I would always sing in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't even be singing, it'd be screaming because my dad could hear it from like 3 rooms away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just always kind of been there. It's always been like a part in my life. For no reason. I think I just like, I've always loved listening, at least listening to music. So it's always just kind of, it's always just kind of been there. And then that's how the lesson started and all this started.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So when it came to taking lessons for music, what do you think was the most important, I feel like I have to reword this. when you were learning to play music, when you were being taught, what do you think was the most important lesson that you took away from that? So like a life lesson, a lesson about entering the music industry, like that sort of thing. Like what was the biggest lesson from taking those classes?
I think the biggest thing that at least I was taught was confidence.
Yeah.
When I was like, when I was younger, I did have a good amount of it. And then once I started, I'd say around age 13, that's when it started to like, the confidence started to dwindle a little bit. Just getting older, like high school, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And that's what I, but around that age, 13, 14, was when I actually started taking music seriously and not just like going for lessons once a week.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I started like writing and everything. So I think having music and having to go out and perform and having to like release new music or having to like speak to new people really helped my confidence in ways because I sort of had to be strong in order to do all those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Do you feel as though you were confident from the get-go, like when you first started performing, when you were first sort of, you know, maybe like when you first entered music lessons, even when you first started singing at 8, did you feel as though you had a sort of confidence? And then how was that journey for you?
When I was 8, I felt like I definitely had a little bit of confidence, mm-hmm. like already there. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like when you're young, like you don't really think about what other people are saying. You just kind of do what you want. Like it's not really a thought in your head.
Yeah.
And then once I started performing, that was when I felt like my confidence was starting to get a little off. Wasn't always there. Just like nerves and everything. I didn't really know how to deal with the nerves at that time. So I think just through performing more and getting new opportunities, that's when it started, like my confidence came back a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What artists do you look up to vocally, or maybe what artists would you compare your voice to?
I have been told that I, like, my voice sounds like if Lady Gaga and Adele had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been told. I listen to a lot of Lady Gaga, particularly her newer stuff, not so much her older stuff. Like A Million Reasons, some of the songs from the soundtrack of A Star Is Born, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adele, the big hits, all that, like Someone Like You, Make You Feel My Love, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. When did you start creating music yourself? Do you remember how old were you and like what that journey was like?
Yeah, I was around 14 when I started writing my own music.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 14, I auditioned for a development company in Nashville called PCG Universal.
Oh, cool.
And I actually ended up getting into the program. And awesome. That's how I started songwriting because it was like, it's almost like a school. Like it's a bunch of classes you take, like you would go to like write a song with a different provider or a different musician. And then you go into like the performance thing where they teach you like certain tricks about how to perform and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I started songwriting because I was essentially sent off to one of the musicians that they had working for them. And it would sit there and write songs and make demos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you feel as though you gained from joining, what is that's PCG Universal, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you feel as though was like the biggest takeaway or like the biggest gain from joining a company like that?
I'd say like my overall, like, I guess, presence as an artist. Like mm-hmm. when I started, like I would post covers on Instagram, but like there wouldn't really be a theme. Like there wasn't, like I would just post anything just to post, like
sure.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
But through them, they taught me about like branding myself and posting things that like really were authentic to my Instagram and having a theme and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say like they helped me with my image and they helped me with, again, confidence. At that time, I was 14, so I lacked a lot of it. So that was the two main things that they really worked on with me.
Mm-hmm. Cool. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
When I got into that program. Before I got in, everybody was pushing me. They were like, oh, you should write a song. Oh, you should release a song. You should go perform here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always be like, oh, no, like, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else can do it. And then once I got into the program, it was kind of like almost like a boost that I needed.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So you probably started seeing yourself as like a musician who should be taking herself more seriously once you got accepted there.
Definitely.
Cool. When do you remember when you either, I don't know if you were ever in bands growing up or if you've always been a solo performer, but when did you first start performing either solo or as a part of a band?
I was always solo, but I would say, like, because of the studio that I took my lessons at, Studio E, like, every year they would have, like, recitals or, like, little performance opportunities here or there. So the first time I actually performed was at a recital.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think it was, again, I was probably, like, 8. And
yeah,
it was, like, I remember that first time because, like, at that point, I was still nervous to go on stage, so...
Mm-hmm.
My first time, and we were in, like, a big theater. Like, it was like downtown Hamilton, crazy big theater, because there's a lot of kids. And I remember just sitting there being like, oh my god, I'm about to go on the stage, what am I gonna do?
Oh yeah, that's terrifying. I mean, how do you remember that experience being, and then how would you compare how you felt in that moment to now performing live?
Well, in that moment I was super freaked out. I mean, it was my first time performing, and it was a huge stage, so it was definitely nerve-wracking at the time. But now, looking back at it, the place that I was and the crowd that I was performing for seems just so small, to the point where now I would definitely be nervous. I mean, I feel like I always am a little bit nervous, just like because I always want to do well. But I definitely wouldn't be as nervous as I was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music? Obviously, your family was aware since you were a kid that this is something that you're passionate about.
Yes.
But did they view it as something that could become a career for you, or did they see it as more of a hobby for you, or what was that like?
I would say that definitely at the beginning it was more of a hobby,
mm-hmm,
type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would tell people, oh, I'm in singing lessons, and they'd be like, yeah, okay, well, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But felt like as I got older and the more that I started performing, the more I started going to lessons, like, more than once a week, just to be there, like, all the time and always be singing, that's when they really started to, like, take my singing seriously, all that kind of stuff. So everybody has always been pretty supportive, I would say.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love to hear that. I mean, there's so many families who, you know, aren't very supportive of their kids getting into music, and it's understandable.
Yeah.
It's the arts. It's, you know, sometimes hard to make a living, but, you know, people do it, so.
Yeah. I've always said, like, my dad's always said, like, even though it's not reliable, it's still a shot. Like, you should still take your shot.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not, like, performing full-time as your full-time career, it's still something you can do on the side. I mean, love for music never goes away, even if you just release for fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Where did you grow up? Have you always lived in Hamilton?
I was born in Burlington, but I basically lived in Hamilton since I was, like, I'd say 2.
Yeah. What do you think about the Hamilton music scene, and how has it changed over the years, since you've been performing?
Now, obviously, with COVID, there isn't as much performing, but,
mm-hmm.
I started college this year at Mohawk for music,
mm-hmm,
and I felt like even just having friends that previously went to Mohawk, I feel like especially this year in the past few months, I've learned about so many different places in Hamilton to perform or, like, that have performers and everything like that that I didn't know about before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty crazy. I feel like there's a lot of places in Hamilton to perform that people don't always know about. So I think it's pretty cool to have, mm-hmm, like, these hidden almost gems in Hamilton.
Oh, totally, yeah. And it's really sad to see some of those going away, what with COVID and everything, right? It's
definitely.
But thankfully, we still have a few of them left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you planning on sticking around Hamilton for the new future? Do you have an end goal in mind, like Toronto or somewhere in the States? Do you have, like, a goal for somewhere where you'd like to be stationed?
Well, I definitely, for the next few years, I'm going to be in Hamilton because of school.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, I remember I'd always say, I'm moving to New York. The second I can move, I'm out of here, right to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's kind of changed a little bit because I just thought New York was cool when I was younger. But I think that when I'm older, it'd be really cool to like kind of travel and live a little bit. So like live in Toronto for a little bit, try LA maybe, check out the music scene down there. So not like a set plan, but I feel like it'd be pretty cool to go to a few different places and try and live there for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. What do you think could be improved about the Hamilton scene?
I think getting new performers. I feel like a lot of the Hamilton or like the surrounding areas, I feel like once they have like some set performers, they pretty much stick with them. Like if it's like if it's an annual gig, like every Saturday night, let's just say, like, I feel like it's a lot of the same. And I feel like there's a lot of performers out there that don't have those opportunities and don't have like a weekly type of gig thing. And I feel like definitely there's a lot of people out there that should be showcasing that aren't. So giving everybody opportunities.
Yeah. Do you think it can get kind of like clicky almost? Like the same sort of people run in the same circles and always playing the same venues?
It really depends what circle you're in, but I feel like there's like there's cliques and everything. So there's definitely groups of people that like are together and that like will only call on each other, not other people, which I understand to a certain point, but I also feel like sometimes it's a little sad because there's obviously a lot of other performers that would love to go out and do things, but
Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
So many people. There's so many artists that obviously that are like putting out music, like Juliana Jones. Definitely. She puts out great music. Even just like not even vocalists, like Nick Rhodes, great guitarist. So many, there's so many people that just like that get out and perform, but I feel like deserve a little bit more recognition than what they get.
Totally, yeah. There's a bunch of those in Hamilton. I mean, so many small musicians that are so talented, and we need to see more of them. If you could collaborate with any musician, so you can think big on this one, totally go big, who would it be, and like, what would you imagine creating with them?
Oh my gosh, that is so hard.
Yeah.
I would say a collab with Bruno Mars would be pretty cool.
Cool.
Even Lady Gaga, I'd love to do something with her. And Rihanna. Those are my three, I feel like. That'd be really, really cool to one day, hopefully, do a collab with.
Yeah. Do you think you'd like, you know, create a song with them? Would you want them featured on your album? Like, what kind of thing would you picture?
I would love to do like kind of like a duet thing with any of them. Like, I feel like a nice duet with Bruno Mars would be really cool.
Cool. Well, I hope that for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Is there anyone locally that you think you'd love to collaborate with on something?
Juliana Jones, of course.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
She's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you want to, yeah, like again, like duet maybe on a song?
Yeah, I feel like that'd be really cool. Like just having, like, because we're actually, like, me and Juliana are good friends. So I feel like it would just be like a really personal song, like something that we could both connect to, and it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd love to see more of that in the local scene too, is like artists collaborating with each other. I feel like that's kind of missing these days.
Yeah, I agree. Don't really see too much of that in the Hamilton scene, at least.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play Everyone a Single from Isabella Chiarini. You and Me is a single off of the pop singer's 2021 EP, Every Single Tear, about a young girl reminiscing on a failed relationship.
Every party I'm at, you'll just walk in. Got my head spinning, so I'm avoiding my phone, but I want you to know what you're missing. I know you've got someone, I bet she's sitting beside. I'm denying every minute. Wish I'd said, but I didn't. Sometimes I she's sitting beside you, and if she's the one, are you letting her love you? I'm denying every minute. Wish I'd said, but I didn't. Sometimes I
just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Hamilton-based pop singer-songwriter Isabella Chiarini. So we just came back from playing You and Me, a single from your 2021 EP, Every Single Tear. What's that song about?
It's about a person who just got out of a relationship, and they don't necessarily want to start the relationship again, mm-hmm. but they can't get the person out of their head.
Yeah. Do you find that you prefer to write from personal experience, or do you like to create songs based on other people's experiences or sort of made up experiences? What do you find you pull from the most?
I find that I pull from my own experiences the most.
Mm-hmm.
When I write, I try to make things pretty general. I try not to write just about dating relationships. I feel like You and Me, it could be really generalized. It's not just about a dating relationship. It could be a relationship with somebody, a friendship or a family member who maybe something happened and you just can't stop thinking about the person because you cared about them at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes it a lot more relatable that way, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who did you work with to record and produce that song?
So the producer was Dan Borgers. He's based in Toronto. Mm-hmm. He's really cool. I co-wrote the song with the songwriter Andrew Bonsample, who's also based in Toronto. He mm-hmm. Presented the song to me. He already kind of had the bones of it written out when we met.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of went through it together and we tweaked it and rewrote some parts so it would sound more authentic to how I would pretty much speak in the song, sing in the song. So he was the co-writer on that song.
Yeah. How did you meet those guys?
I met Dan through my vocal coach, Teresa Machida. They were friends. I guess they met a few times before, at events and stuff. And then I met Andrew through Dan. Dan connected me with Andrew about the song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool. What do you hope your listeners will take away from that single?
I would say something like, it's okay to miss somebody, and it's okay to, like, to have feelings about it, but that person, like, shouldn't be your whole, like, they shouldn't be your whole life, and there's, like, there's always something outside, and there's always a light at the end of the tunnel for any situation like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you recently released an animated music video for You and Me. When did that idea start?
It started a few months ago, I'd say around September. I thought it would be pretty cool to have another single off the EP kind of released in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got really good feedback on You and Me. Like, that was another song people really seemed to enjoy. So that's where all that came to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who was the artist that created the art for your music video, and how did you meet them?
So I met the artist through the PCG Universal. They had her, she's a provider for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them about my idea to have the animated video because I wasn't really sure who to turn to. I wasn't sure who to communicate to about that because I didn't really know any animators or people that did videos like that, like, mm-hmm. around me. So mm-hmm. I reached out to them and they connected me with her. Her name is Lumetric_love on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really cool. I'm very bad at, like, communicating my ideas.
Sure.
So we were talking about the video. I basically was just kept telling her, just follow the events of the song, like, just kind of go along with it. Like, I gave her something, but not really.
Sure.
So, but she completely understood my vision, and it turned out really cool.
Cool. So what was your original vision for it? What were you inspired by?
I was inspired by the Billie Eilish video for her song, My Future.
Mm-hmm.
She did an anime video, and she was in a forest, and, like, in the beginning, it was, like, super dark, like, kind of forth at night, and then throughout the song it kind of progressed there, and the song is about, like, getting to know herself again and excited for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So near the end it was kind of like light again.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like she's finding herself. So I kind of did that in my video, like, near the end, finding myself again without that person.
Cool. Yeah. What's the final product of the video what you originally envisioned?
It wasn't. I think that there were some parts in it that I saw and I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that, but it looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were some scenes in the water, like, I would, like, the person pulled me into the water, and I thought that was really cool. So I definitely, like, I kind of knew what I was, like, what she was going to do, but there were definitely some scenes in the music video that definitely surprised me in a good way.
Cool. Yeah. How was the reaction from your listeners when you dropped the video?
So far, it's been really, really good.
Cool.
I got a lot of good feedback on it. People are seeming to enjoy it. I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes from here. It's only been a few days, so.
Yeah. Yeah, really. So your EP, Every Single Tear, you dropped that in 2021. What are the major themes across those songs?
I would say the main theme, like, across the whole EP is, like, the stages of a breakup. So,
mm-hmm.
The first song, You and Me, is about, like, not wanting to get back into a relationship with a person, but can't stop thinking about them. The title track, Every Single Tear, is about now that the relationship is over, you kind of come to terms with it, and now, like, you just start off sad, and then I kind of start to find myself near the end of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third track, Another Love Song, is kind of like, I'm so done with the situation. Like, the last thing that I want is another, like, person to come back in my life and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last song, Look Into the Mirror, is about, like, loving yourself again without that person and being your own person again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could you walk us through the songs from every single tier and talk a little bit about the songwriting process, what you were thinking, kind of the stories behind those, and then the final product and how you felt about them when you dropped the EP?
Yeah. So the first song, You and Me, I wrote, I co-wrote in 2021, mm-hmm. like near the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And the process was super simple with that one. Like I co-wrote the song and recorded the demo in the same day. It just all kind of flowed. Like the flow was really cool. And it happened really organically that day, which was awesome. It was kind of an easy songwriting day, which for many songwriters knows that's definitely not always the case, but it was a really cool experience. And then Every Single Tear, the second song, I wrote with my vocal coach. She is an amazing songwriter, and we wrote the song together. I wrote the song coming out of, like, it was about a friendship that ended at the time, and I was super upset about it. So I kind of brought that to her, and we created a song through that. And then again, we recorded in 2021, and it was produced by LA-based producer Eric Lusinski, he's amazing. He always gets my vision whenever I send him new songs. Even if they suck, he's like, yes, keep going. Mm-hmm. So he's really cool. Then I have another love song, which mm-hmm. I wrote almost like 3 years ago in Nashville with this company, PCG Universal. I wrote it with songwriter and producer Britton Cameron. He's so cool. We wrote the song, I want to say, it was pretty quickly as well. I find that when I find good songwriters, I stick with them because everything just happens so much easier, and I feel like the ideas come a lot better, and the ideas are better in general. So that one, and then Look Into the Mirror, it was a remix of my first song that I released. So Look Into the Mirror was a song I released when I was 14. And then I remixed it for the EP. And then again, I wrote that with Brandon Cameron in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Do you have plans for a future full-length project? And if so, what could that look like? And how would that be different from Every Single Tier?
I think it'd be really cool to release an album one day. Mm-hmm. I don't really have set plans right now for it.
Yeah.
I have two songs that are about to be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So those could potentially be on an album, but I guess we'll have to wait and see for that. I want to take my time with, if it's going to be a big 8-song album, let's just say, or more than 4 songs. I want to make sure that there's definitely a running theme through it and that it makes sense. So mm-hmm. I feel like there are definitely plans for that in the future, just not sure exactly when.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that feel kind of intimidating to be, to plan for like that full length album, because you haven't done that yet. And does it feel kind of scary, even though it's obviously exciting?
Yeah, definitely. I think mm-hmm. that like always releasing something, even if it's just like a single or just a music video, it's always a little bit nerve wracking because you never know what people are going to think about it.
Yeah.
But I think as long as it's something that's authentic to you and something that you really like, mm-hmm. I feel like that always translates into music, and then it translates the way the public views it. And then usually I feel like that way the response is always better.
Totally. Yeah. So you said that you're attending Mohawk for music. Mm-hmm. How has that been so far?
It's been pretty good. I am enjoying it. We've been online, unfortunately, for pretty much the whole semester.
Yeah. So,
like both semesters now. So I'm excited for next year to hopefully be in person and get to do some more playing rather than just online stuff.
Yeah.
I've met some cool people through the program, not just teachers. Like I've met a lot of cool musicians mm-hmm. through the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's been super fun so far.
Yeah. Well, how has that been affecting you as like a music student in music school right now. What sort of changes have they had to make to the curriculum? And like, what do projects look like? How is that working for you?
I find that it's a lot more like theory based this year, because I only have two classes in person, and those are the only times that I really get to play with other people. The rest of the time, it's all about like sending in videos or completing worksheets and stuff that I feel like normally like would just be done in class, like if I was in an in-person class. But since I'm not, they have to make sure that you're actually like doing the work. So I feel like it's a lot more assignment based this year rather than performing or playing based.
Do you feel like online classes, do they work for you personally? I find that, you know, it really depends on your personality and what your learning style is like. And sometimes it can be really great for some people, and then sometimes it's like the absolute worst. How have you found it so far?
I think it definitely depends on the class for me. Like, ear training classes, like learning to like hear different things, I feel like it's a blessing and a curse to be online, because I feel like when I'm trying to sing a new scale or something, I can just mute myself and nobody hears me mess up if I mess up. But on the flip side, if sometimes I sing something and I can't tell if I'm saying it right or not, and I don't have somebody there to tell me.
Yeah.
So there's always like, plus, there's like pros and cons to everything, but I find that I don't hate online, but I'd rather definitely be in person.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think a good mix is ideal, and like, hopefully that ends up happening for you guys soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, meeting students, like I've interviewed so many Mohawk College music students, and there's so much talent coming out of that school.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when you're online learning, this is going to be difficult. But how has that sort of networking with fellow students been for you? And do you see that being a really beneficial factor for your career?
Yeah. This year's been a little bit different just because, like, we don't see each other as often.
Yeah.
But we still have, like, we all are in, like, a big group chat with everybody in the program. Like, we all still communicate. It's just not as much as, like, I'm assuming other years were. But we all go to this bar, Corktown. It's downtown. It's like a jazz bar. Like, a lot of us go there to listen to people, and we all, like, network through there.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it's really good to meet other musicians, especially in the Hamilton scene, just, like, if, just in case, like, you're doing, like, a tracking, you need a bassist. Like, you know five bassists that are just in your program that are good. So, like, it gives you options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally, yeah. Obviously, you've never been in a band before. Is that something that you think you'd be open to, even if it's just something casual for, like, you know, jamming and stuff like that? Do you think that's something that maybe you'd want to do with, like, members of, like, the Mohawk music program?
Yeah, definitely. I think that being in a band would be super cool. Every student in the music program has to do an ensemble, which is it's basically a band. I equate it to a band.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really cool to be able to play with other musicians and get to experience that as well. So kind of get my feet wet in that, and it's been really, really fun. So I can definitely see myself playing with other musicians in the future.
Do you know, like, what kind of style you'd want to go if you were in a band?
I definitely on the pop side, something like R&B type stuff. Definitely singing some, like, Rihanna, like that. I feel like that's where my voice fits best. Rihanna, Lady Gaga, Adele, kind of stuff. So.
Cool. How has your style changed since you first started? What do you think have been the major changes in, like, your songwriting and your vocal style? How have you seen yourself progress?
I say definitely, like, the content I'm able to write about has definitely changed a lot from when I started releasing at 14 to now. I feel like I'm able to talk about things that I wasn't able to sing about back then. I have, like, obviously, like, as you grow up, there's more life experience that you gain, and the more not necessarily bad, good and bad things that happen to you that make great song lyrics, that make great song content. So I feel like just growing up has definitely influenced my music for the better.
Awesome. Yeah. Is there a genre that you've always wanted to dip your toes into but haven't yet?
I'd say definitely like more on the rock side, like Queen type of stuff. I feel like I've kind of have, but not really to the extent that I feel like I could try one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it'd be really cool to kind of to do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something that maybe you'd want to try with like other Mohawk music kits?
Yeah, definitely. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah, like a little rock ensemble. That'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, and what steps are you planning to take to get yourself there?
In 5 years, I definitely see myself, at Mohawk, they're like affiliated with the Berklee program for music.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do 3 years at Mohawk and then do 2 years down at Berklee, and you end up with a Berklee diploma at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of that 5 years, I would definitely see myself hopefully at Berklee, doing school, getting my music degree from there, and just overall, like, performing, all that kind of stuff that I'm getting back into now that the lockdown is over. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely going to Berklee is on the list.
Cool. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what are your goals for 2022?
My goal for 2022 is finishing my first year of college.
Mm-hmm.
And overall releasing, I think that I always try to release at least like 2 things a year just to keep people like entertained, and just for myself too. I love doing it. I love writing. I love recording. Recording is one of my favorite things to do. So just getting in the studio more, being able to release more is definitely always the goal for me.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And what do you feel as though you've taken away or you've gained from COVID, from the restrictions, from all the time alone? Do you feel as though you've been able to self-reflect more? Do you feel as though you've been able to spend more time on your hobbies and your career? Maybe have you networked with some important people? What do you feel as though you've gained from this time?
I definitely think that I've stepped up my social media presence
mm-hmm.
through COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We've had obviously a lot of extra time on our hands. So I would always be like, oh, I'd go and take a picture or film a cover or find something cool to post my story. Like, it'd always be a constant thought on my mind. Whereas before, like, I feel like it was so busy before, like, Instagram was the last thing on a lot of our minds. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like COVID really stepped up the presence that everybody has on social media, and the more they post and they try to find cooler things to post now. That's definitely what I was doing, especially during the first lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What has been your strategy on social media for posting? Do you have like a specific aesthetic or colors or vision that you stick to? And then how do you find more followers or listeners? How do you attract those people to you?
I like to wear a lot of black clothes, so mm-hmm. I feel like black is always a running theme, black and white, to some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that, like, when it comes to, like, attracting people, I take a lot of, like, pictures, like, almost, like, kind of, like, mini mock photo shoots. Like, I get my dad, basically, to take pictures of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get all ready, and it looks pretty professional, so I always try to put effort into doing that. And I post like reels and all that kind of stuff, just like different ways in different areas of Instagram for people to see you. Also a bunch of hashtags. I put them in the comments. It's because the more hashtags you get, the more you get noticed, because if people look up the hashtag, your post will come up and they might click on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. The way that you style yourself, and especially for like the music video for Every Single Tear, reminds me a lot of like, it's very Adele-ish. Do you feel as though you take inspiration from her?
Definitely. Yeah. She was one of my inspirations for that song.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, in terms of style, how would you, like, a specific, like, fashion, how would you describe that for yourself? Do you think that's very, maybe, like, classic, maybe old school, or, like, how would you describe that for yourself?
Yeah, I'd say it's, like, classic, but, like, also with a twist. Like, I like to find really cool pieces that I can style in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like fashion, again, has always been something that I've been interested in.
Yeah.
Not just, like, the music side of, like, the arts, also, like, dressing and makeup and all that kind of stuff has always been something that I've been interested in as well. So finding new clothes that, like, I guess, like, the average person wouldn't wear, but I wear because I perform and take pictures all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's kind of what sets that apart, and that was how I would describe my style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Is there something that you'd like to start doing more of when it comes to social media? Maybe when it comes to, like, covering songs and, you know, posting videos on Instagram or wherever, maybe doing more live streams, maybe getting in touch with more photographers in the area and getting more photo shoots done. What's a goal for you in terms of social media?
I would say definitely live streaming. I have live streamed before, but it's not really one of the main things that I do on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it'd be really cool to start incorporating that in some way. Even if it's not like a regular thing, just something that I do more often.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool to, like, interact with people real time instead of posting a picture and seeing comments, like, 3 hours later.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever done a live streamed performance from, like, a venue? Because I know that, you know, a lot of artists have been doing that since they couldn't actually bring people to the venue. Do you think that's something you'd want to do in the future if you haven't already?
Yeah, like, I've done performances with Mohawk and on my own on live stream.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been cool, like, bringing people along with that way, because if I performed with Mohawk, like, obviously people could not come see me in person. So it was, like, it wasn't just, like, my friends and family on my Instagram or something. Like, it was, like, a bunch of people. It was other singers in Mohawk and people who they brought to the performance and then people who I brought. So that was pretty cool to do.
Yeah, yeah. And in the future, with, like, working with Mohawk music students and everything, do you picture yourself with, like, a big, like, a full band in the future? Backing musicians, maybe for piano, maybe for drums, guitar, bass, that sort of thing, maybe string instruments. Do you see yourself at some points having that as, like, a performance band?
It would definitely be cool to have a performance band. I always like, though, like, watching performers with, like, just the guitarist or just the pianist, like, having it really be super intimate. I think I'd like to try it both ways.
Cool. Sounds great. And what can we look forward to seeing from you?
I have two songs that are in the middle of being recorded, so hopefully at least one of those will be released this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just always looking at my Instagram, I feel like I'm super active on there, so looking forward to just keep my Instagram up and people can check that out.
Cool. Do you have any other socials that you'd like to direct people to?
Sure. So on Instagram, it's Isabella Shrini Official. On Facebook and YouTube, I post all of my music videos on YouTube. It's just Isabella Shrini. And then on TikTok, it's Isabella Shrini Official as well.
Awesome. Okay, guys. Well, you heard that. And yeah, thank you so much, Isabella, for joining me today and talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. This is great. So, yeah, I think, was I mispronouncing your last name? I've been saying Chiarini.
It's close. It's Chiarini. It's a little weird.
Chiarini.
It sounds like an FH at the beginning.
Okay, yeah. I have a weird last name, too, so I totally get it. So, everyone listening, you can find Isabella on all socials as Isabella Shrini Official and on all streaming services as Isabella Shrini. We're going to wrap up this episode with the single Every Single Tear from Isabella's 2021 EP, a song about loss and missing a person you no longer have.
Hey, guys. Isabella Cherini, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indy 101.5.
Why did you go leave me here all alone? Did you think I would have let it go? Now all I see is the way you treated me, blinded by the thought of what love could be.
You're listening to Indy 101.5 FM. CIOI.